I consider it a great honor to have been asked and welcomed to come here this morning. We had a good trip down, enjoyable, enjoyed it. We just want to thank you, whoever made that move to welcome us here on this day. I want to thank you, and I want you to be a praying, God, to bless me. And you bless Brother Dean, you bless Brother Terry, and I'd love to feel his presence. Brother Terry said something about that we were to speak in spirit, that Jesus spoke in spirit and in truth. And that's what we're to speak in that order, spirit and in truth. A drunk could read the spirit, could read the truth, but it wouldn't have the spirit. But you can never bring the spirit without bringing the truth. Is that right, Brother Junior? So I hope you'll pray this morning. But my heart this morning, he said that there's more rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth that 99 just that need no repentance. And that's why, that's where my heart is that this morning, is if there is somewhere one this morning that is teetering on that, they've not been convinced either way. But you know, you were born for heaven or for hell. There's just two places, and there's no getting out of it. You've been born, you're here, and one of the two places is going to hold all the Adam generation, and the death rate is 100%. So I don't know of any that's got out of it. So we know we're going to die, and we must make a decision while the Spirit is moving upon us. And that's the ones I'm after this morning. I know that he gave, in Ephesians 4:11, he said that he gave gifts unto the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors for the perfection of the saints and the edification of for the work of the ministry and the edification of the church. But this morning, my mind leads out to that one, and I was so pleased to come in and find a young man reading his Bible this morning. And I asked him to read a scripture to me, and that was the very one that was on my mind this morning. When I left home, when I got up yesterday morning, when I left home this morning, and it was still here, and he was kind enough to read it to me. And that pleased me so well, that a young person would bring their Bible out and be a reading it while others were shaking hands and this and that. He was in God's Word. And that really pleased me. Here's what's on my mind. Brother Junior and I were... Brother Terry and I were talking about how that we ought to keep it simple. Just as simple. Paul spent his entire ministry talking about the simplicity that was in Christ. It's not complicated anymore. It was a mystery hidden from the beginning of time until Paul spoke of it in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, he said there was a mystery that was hidden from the beginning of time. And what was that mystery? You know, the apostles, they preach the kingdom of heaven. But when the apostle Paul came along, he preached about the death, burial, and resurrection for the remission of sins. And you won't find that from the 12 until the very end of their life. And then at the very end of their life, John and Peter got a glimpse of this, And John, Peter said, oh, the dark things. Our beloved brother Paul, the dark things of what he had to say. But he was getting a glimpse of them, and they began to preach the same thing. And I hope this morning that God would just lead my mind. I like what Brother Junior says. I've heard him say that. He loves to get up here. If the scripture comes back to him, let it come back two or three times. That way, listen, that's the way that we know that it's of the Lord. He said, what I have begun, I'll finish. In other words, when he starts something, he's not going to give up on it, Brother Junior. But listen, it's all right. In patience, possess ye your souls. And listen, I love, there's no need to get all fuzzed up. And in a way, will he bring that back to my mind? If he brought it to your mind, he'll bring it back again and again and again. He's one of long suffering. He loves us this morning. He loves you enough to die for you while you were yet in your sins. I want to, whatever I say this morning, these brothers and sisters, they're safe in the arms of Jesus this morning. But a different thing with you that have not accepted his finished work on Calvary. Listen here. Keith Whitley made a song one time, and he said the first step to heaven is knowing that you're lost. I don't know the condition of Keith Whitley, but I do know that what he said in that song is the truth. Listen. I hear him say, you can do nothing against the truth. But for it, and here back in the Garden of Eden, in the second chapter of the book of Genesis, God gave man only one commandment to keep. You'd have thought that would have been so simple. What was here? In the day you may eat of every tree of the garden, but that one that's in the midst of the garden, it was not apples, it was not peaches, it was knowledge. He said, when you eat of the tree of the knowledge, I'm good. Even though it's good, if it's not the will of the Lord, it's not to be eaten. In the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. And listen, that would not have been so bad. But in the third chapter that I got the young man to read to me this morning, in the third chapter of the book of Genesis, Eve said, when approached by Satan, see, God said, listen what he said, when the word is sown, immediately, not tomorrow, not after church, but immediately when the word is sown, Satan come to take away that which was sown. The commandment was sown in their heart, and immediately Satan appeared on the scene, and he said, what hath God said unto thee? And she said, we may eat of every tree in the garden of Eden, but he told us, if we eat of it or touched it, that we would surely die. And he, yes, what Satan said, and that's what he's saying today. Listen, he said, surely you will not die. Listen, that's what Satan's is telling you this morning. But listen, in Ezekiel, chapter 18, about the fourth verse of the last part of that, he said, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And then over in Romans 3:23, he said, all have sinned, every one of these in this house have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when Jesus come, I hear what he said. He said, one man come up to him and told him all of his good works, everything better than probably anyone in this house could attest to that they had done. And he told Jesus about these things. And here's Jesus' response to him. He says, there is not one, no, not one that's good. And listen, they condemned every one of us because our parents, Adam and Eve, had sinned, broken that one commandment, and sin was released upon this earth. It was all turned over to Satan. And listen, but that brought us all in a need for a Savior. Oh, God, I thank you for Jesus. I love him so good. You know what, the other morning I was praying. Listen, I love to be woke up in the morning. No wonder he said, arise early and go out to the house of the Lord. You can do that without even getting out of your bed. But I had a dream. Oh, I dreamed in Scripture, and that pleased me, Brother Junior. He told me what was in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. And my wife, when she wakes in the morning, and she reads the Bible, oh, how sweet she looks, Brother Junior, when I come upstairs, and there she is reading the precious word of the Lord. I'm so proud. I'm so thankful to have a complimentary part of me that makes us a whole, that we can witness, we can pray together. And when we pray together, Brother Junior, seems like the very impossible comes into being. Makes me think of a word, two or three, I agree, as touching any one thing, it shall be done. But listen, a lost man or woman, you're just as lost can be. But listen, I've got good news for you. Oh, a man called Jesus. I love to praise him. Sometimes I just love to shout and say, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I love you. I felt your presence. And like you said, Brother Dean, I could almost see him humbly walking among the pews this morning, seeking out who might believe in him, reaching out, putting his arms around them, letting them feel his presence. Listen, but what did Paul say? He said that the gospel he chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that would believe. Listen, oh, you can believe in a nursing home. You can believe in this church this morning. But it's important what you believe. Listen, there was a man that believed that he could buy the ability to lay hands on people and they would receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, he said, thy money and listen, thy money and thy thought perish with thee. And listen, I pray to God that he will remove this from you. And they turned around. He turned around and he said, would you all pray for me? And listen, they didn't even respond to that. Why? Because they told them to pray for your own self. But if it's by the gospel, then we need so desperately to know what is the gospel. And that brings me, listen, by the foolishness of preaching, I'm so glad. Listen, that you may think, well, mine's locked in prison. Mine is in, maybe mine is unconscious. But thanks be to God that John saw an angel flying through the midst of the heaven, having the power to preach the gospel to every nation, kindred, and tongue. He said, the same that subjected you to vanity, which is a lost condition, also subjected you to hope, which was that lively hope in Jesus Christ. God bless you, Jesus. We love you this morning. We can't live without you. You can live without us. You can be in your throne this morning without us, but we can't make it without you. And children, you can't either. But listen, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings. In the Old Testament, they called it glad tidings. In the New, they called it the gospel. But it was the same thing. It was a man that hung on a tree that come and listen. The apostles said that, listen what they said. They said, you Jews have killed him. Paul said, not so. Paul said, he gave his life willingly. He was led as a sheep toward the slaughter. He didn't, they didn't kill him. He said, I have the power to lay down my life. I've got the power to take it up. He had all power in both heaven and in earth. And listen, of the gospel, God bless you. What is the gospel? In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, about verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, he said, here is the gospel, that Jesus was crucified as it was appointed. He was buried and lay in the tomb for 3 days as it was appointed. And on the third and the appointed morning, God bless that morning. That's where our hope lies. If he hadn't got up, our preaching would have been in vain and your faith would have been in vain. Oh, he got up and there was infallible proof that even his enemies
believers had to agree that we've got to stop them some other way. We can't find nothing against them. They're preaching the truth. If anybody had been going to deny it, it would have been his enemies. No wonder God said, pray for your enemies. Why should we pray for our enemies? The moment they get saved, Brother Junior, they're the best friends we ever had. They're one of us. There's no difference. Listen, he's not a partial God. But listen, there's your way this morning. He's passing by. I ask this morning that the Holy Spirit would come. Just cover this whole crowd. So listen, I prove to you by the scriptures that you're lost. I prove to you by the scriptures that your sin, past, present, and future has already been paid for. Oh, you can't work it out. There's only one sin held against you this morning, and it's denying the only son that was born to take away the sins of the world. Your unbelief is the only thing that'll take you down. It won't be adultery. It won't be cheating your neighbor. It won't be stealing. It won't be none of these things that we've been taught for years. It'll be rejecting the only begotten Son of God. When was he begotten? The day that he raised from the tomb. This day hath this day have I begotten thee. Listen, this is my begotten Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, thank you. And when he got up, he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome everything in heaven and in the earth and under the earth. Where can you go that you've not got access to God? Listen, there may be someone here this morning in my closing remarks. There may be someone, listen this morning, that has not added to their faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity, and forgotten that they were lost, purged from, or saved from their old sins. Listen, you've not done that, and you've got cold, but I've got good news for you. That was what my dream was about the other night. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, we talked about now no chastisement for the time seems joyous, but grievous. Listen, oh, I've been beaten down so long. I needed that. Listen, he knows exactly what you need, Brother Junior, when you need it, when you'll appreciate it. That's when he comes. When you least expect him, there he is on the scene. God bless you. But listen, how can no chastisement? Let me tell you the greatest thing that God can chastise me with, Brother Merle, is to let me think that I'm not going to get to go to heaven. That's the greatest pain that can be put on this boy. I don't know how you all get along, but that's the greatest pain. And I suspect you've all been there. I listen. But If we had no chastisement, what would we be? Just a few scriptures up in 12, Hebrews 12, it said, if you have no chastisement, you're bastards and not a son. And that will be grievous when it's revealed to you that you, listen, that you are not a son. You may have a membership in a church. You may have been baptized. But listen, if you don't have chastisement, you just simply not been born again. But listen, I've got news for you out there. That may not be in the church. You may feel that you've sinned away the days of grace and you're a child of God. You've just not kept on keeping on. And I've got good news for you. If you're chastised, just one scripture down from Hebrews 12, listen, 11, about 12 or 13. It said now, listen, it said chastisement after it's worked its perfect work, bringeth forth the peaceful fruits of righteousness. Listen, and here's another way, and then I'll sit down, that you may know that you're a child of God. Do you think on the brothers and sisters up here like you did way back a long time ago? I'm talking about you that have not come forward. Here's what God said about it. I've got tired of saying Paul, John, Habakkuk, Amos. It was God the one. All scripture was given by inspiration. A holy man of old wrote as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. God bless that sweet Holy Spirit. And that was what Abraham looked afar off and saw. He saw Jesus' day when he would die, go back to heaven, and send back the Holy Spirit, which is our teacher and our comfort and our guide. But here's the last one that I want to deal with this morning. He said, if ye love the brethren, ye may know. No. Not just guess. Now listen, he that thinketh he knoweth nothing as he should. You should know that you know that you know. You ought to know whether you love these brethren or not. And listen, if you do know that, here's what God said. If you love the brethren, ye may know that you pass from death unto life. In other words, you've been born again. God bless you.